Welcome to another eye-opening episode of
Revealing the Truth About Islam,
the show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam,
exposing the life of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran.
It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdok.
Yay!
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is Saturday, August the 13th of the year of our Lord 2022. This is Usama Dakdok with you from the state of Missouri. And with us tonight, Brother Paul, New York, Sister Christy, Mississippi, and hello to both of you.
Hello.
Hey, Usama. Paul.
Christy, I'm so proud that you're able to stop that craziness come out of your left, huh?
Well, you know what? I'm so proud that after all the craziness today and trying to get here, and I'm thinking I'm late and there's no information for me about the show.
That's
so crazy. And I'm going, oh, my gosh. What am I going to do?
I could have sent the – I didn't start.
That's okay.
It's okay. It all worked out. And actually, I felt better because I was thinking you guys would be so aggravated that I didn't have it ready. And then I thought, oh, my gosh, we're kicked off the air. There's no YouTube.
We're here.
Wow.
We're here.
And that happened to us Sunday. I don't know if you know that. Eric's show got cut in the middle of the broadcast. They deleted the channel in the middle of the broadcast. And
it cut off?
No, it was worse. They deleted the channel, so there was nothing there. There was no anything there.
Well, it
happened.
It happened to us tonight.
That's right.
An expert on Sharia, and we stayed live. And the funny thing is, Eric has 8 times the max he usually has, which is, I think the max he usually gets up to is about 50, and he's had over 800 now viewers because thanks to the troll who got his channel down, he's really out there.
good.
And the channel's back up, by the way.
And we know Paul, we know all things work together for good.
Amen for that one.
What's wrong with that? I got a picture. A friend of mine sent me a picture standing with next to Mike Lindell.
Oh, my gosh. Awesome. I love Mike Lindell. Everybody.
Let me show you. I'm not kidding you. I mean, that is a hot-looking picture. Look at that.
Wait a minute. Get that clear now. Oh,
there you go, right there.
Who is
that?
He looks a lot like Paul. Wow. Who is that guy?
I was just standing next to him probably about 7:30-ish. We left.
Not very long ago.
Yeah.
You have a good visit with Brother Mike Lindell.
He spoke for about a half hour or more, and it was powerful. He's got something cooking, and just wait and see if something coming out.
20th and the 21st.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's going to be powerful.
It is. I got the flyer for it. I'll grab it when we're on break, and I'll show it. But here's what I want to tell people. If you're not on getting Frank's speech and Lindell TV, you are missing a lot. That is where you are going to get people like Roger Stone, Steve Bannon, Mike Lindell, of course. Brandon House is on there. There is a guy named Pete Santilli, Stu Peters.
Usama Dakdok has been there, and he's coming back.
Mike Lindell knew, I mentioned Usama, he's like, I know him,
Yeah, he should. And
week of December, Christy, I will be on almost all week.
Well, you know what? I that's why I want to tell people that is Mike Lindell is doing an awesome job, and I'm telling you what, I order stuff from My Pillow for gifts for people. I've had the most awesome things.
Have you brought my coffee yet?
Well, I don't have the coffee, okay?
Christy, you need to have my coffee. What can you drink?
Because you know what? I have a lot of coffee already right now, but I didn't have some of the other things I ordered. But I'll tell you what, it's really been amazing how God has used Mike Lindell and Lindell TV, and you guys can get it free and get it on your phone. But if you have Roku, you just get the Frank Speech app, and you can watch Lindell TV just like any other channel. And he's got like two channels going and awesome guests, and you are going to get a whole lot of stuff. And I wish more people knew about it. But Frank Speech, he's going to have 20th and the 21st, an awesome conference about elections, what we're going to do about them.
Brother Osama, when are you coming to Florida or Jersey?
when I'm coming to Florida?
Yeah, one is Florida and one is Jersey.
So they're next door to each other.
I'll be in near New Jersey, New York, Maryland, in the months of October, early November, but I'm going to be in Florida in mid-December all the way until Christmas time.
Wow.
So I'm going to be in Florida for a couple of weeks. I'll be in Maryland, New York, Virginia, roughly around a couple of weeks as well. Yeah. So, but I'm going to be in Illinois next week. I'm speaking some church in Illinois, some school in Illinois. And Lord is willing, the following, first week of September, I'm going to be, I have families and friends, people coming from everywhere. But the following week, the first week of September, I'm going to be in the Lake of the Ozark, in the new stadium with Brandon and Mike Lindell. And then I'm going to be in Wild Rose, Wisconsin. And then I'm going to be up north in, almost by the border of Canada. And the city is called somewhere in Minnesota, I can't remember. Anyway, and then I'll be heading to the west, and then I'm going down to the south. Lord's way. All right. Sounds good for the neighborhood. You know what? Did you find the video I asked you to find, Paul?
I have three different videos to share.
Okay. It's one we call We Asked Americans What They Know About Islam. It's about 12, 13 minutes.
We asked Americans what they know?
We asked, past tense, Americans, what they know about Islam. It's 12, 13 minutes. I really would like to have that one because that show you the problem of America. When we say my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, I'm talking about American people are so smart about everything. We walked on the moon. Right now we are landing on Mars, for heaven's sake, collecting some rocks and some stuff from Mars. But when it comes to Islam, we're the dumbest of the dumb. If I
have New Yorkers tell us about Islam.
I'm sorry?
Have New Yorkers tell us about Islam.
Most American people have no idea what even the word is.
Well, Islam, if you don't have the exact title, it's hard to know if he's got the right one, but that might be interesting.
If you search it, you'll find it. I promise you.
Did you send it to me? Because I sent you that email with the link.
The problem is I can't remember what did I send you, what I did not send to you. So.
That's the problem.
My secretary, she was sending you a poem.
Yes. That's where I got it. I figured that Karen had sent it.
That's where
I have New Yorkers tell us about Islam, Muslim, Jihad, Hijab, Jesus, and God. But I have another
one.
This is called New York on Islam and what New Yorkers really think about Muslims. And then,
We'll do our best to answer this. Yeah. Well, just play it. If it is the right one, I'll tell you it is. If not, we're going to move on.
So let me pull this one up here.
We got there's four videos in the one you sent me back, Christy. And I'd like to play some of them myself. How about that, Paul? We got some questions from England.
What do you want to do, the video first or not?
Oh, let's do the question first, warm up. We'll get to the video.
But isn't that Okay. I got a lot of questions there were. So, do I, yeah, I need to pull that up?
About halal food.
Well, we did that. We did that one last time.
Yeah, so, but we never had time to answer the rest of these questions.
Okay.
And they actually collected from different.
Well, I had question two we were up to, which was the, what is the penalty for apostasy?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So you wanna go ahead
share,
and
let me just share my screen just a second.
Sure. And our wonderful audience in the chat room, thank you for being with us tonight, and those who are watching us on Facebook and YouTube, thank you for being with us. Our moderator, thank you for the hard work you guys put in this, and I don't thank you enough, but you never thank me for being with you all this time. So if I'm not being thanked by you, my wonderful moderator, why do I need to thank you? Maybe we just thank the Lord for giving us the opportunity that we can miss together. Hey. But in the meantime, if you have any questions in the chat room, please feel free to go ahead and put your questions. And Paul or Christy can check them out and bring them on the show. All right? So what is the question here, Paul?
What is the penalty for apostasy?
Well, there's no penalty for apostasy. In Islam, we have freedom. You can be Christian. You can be Muslim. You can be Jew. You can be gay. You can be lesbian. You can be anything you want. We have freedom. We don't have any problem with apostasy. How do you like that answer?
It goes beyond the concept of taqiyya, but it is obligatory.
Apostasy in Christian. I'm assuming they mean apostasy from Islam. Or do they mean apostasy from Christianity?
Yeah.
You know, apostasy from Christianity, they don't care about. It's apostasy from Islam.
I know, but I think that's an important point.
Yeah, it is.
First of all, there is no such a thing as apostasy from Christianity.
That's right.
Let me explain this to you. When you became a Christian, I'm not saying grow up in a Christian home, your daddy and your mommy were Christian, that's why you're Christian. No. I'm talking about you became a Christian when the Holy Spirit guided you to something we call repentance, that's confessing your sin, acknowledging that you're not perfect, acknowledging that you need a Savior, and the Holy Spirit will bring Christ to your life in the reality of He is the way, the truth, and the life. And you have all your sin forgiven because you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sin, confess it with your mouth, and you've been set free. That, at that time, we call the second birth. Then the Holy Spirit will write your name on the book. It's called the Book of Life. Then your seal, your salvation is 100% guaranteed, and it's over. There's nothing you can do to earn salvation, and there's nothing you can do to lose salvation. So since you became a Christian now, no such a thing as apostating from Christianity. You don't leave Christianity because you didn't really do anything to earn Christianity except the grace of God will draw you to believe in Christianity. So, in simple words, we don't have apostasy in Christianity. You may grow up in a Christian home, you never believe in Christianity. You may have been to church all your life, you feel good about being in that club with some of your friends. And then somebody is like, you know what, I would like to become an atheist, or I'd like to become a Muslim, or I'd like to become a Jew, or something else. You can do that. But that does not mean at all that you were a Christian, not even a minute in your life. Because born-again Christians do not leave Christianity to become, say, something else. But in Islam, you're not Muslim by choice, Brother Paul. As a matter of fact, if your father is a Muslim and your mother is anything, you're a Muslim. And if you have been bought by a Muslim owner as a slave, you're a Muslim. You have no choice to believe in something else or reject Islam. So what happened if you really, really got converted in your heart and you know that Muhammad is a sinful, wicked, evil man, he was a child molester, a sex offender, a proper pretender, a womanizer, an adulterer, a thief, a thug, that the Quran is a comedy book, literally a book with holes. Not a holy book, but a book is loaded with holes. Every page has few holes in it. So what are you going to do? You leave Islam. Some, sadly, become atheists or agnostic, which is the majority. Millions and millions of Muslims in the last 15, 20 years let Islam become atheists. Sadly, not realizing when they die, they're going to burn in the same hell. Hell number one. You know why? Because there is no hell number two. So you leave Islam because you disbelieve in everything you thought Islam is. And you spend eternity with Muhammad and all the Muslims who believe in Islam. Why you leave Islam if you're going to spend eternity with the Muslims and Muhammad? That doesn't make any sense. But that's an option. The other option, which is the great option, you become a Christian. You believe in the great message, the good news, the great gospel we Christians believe in, and you become a Christian. Now, if you become a Christian, or if you become an atheist, you leave Islam for something else. Now there's the war which led by Allah in the Quran, through the verses of the Quran, Muhammad in his life, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, first successor, and on from the days of Muhammad until the days called the War of Apostasy. You leave Islam if you are not mentally ill. So we have to know that you're not crazy. You know what I mean? You're not whack on your head. You're a normal person. And you said, I don't believe in Islam, and now I've become an atheist or I've become a Christian. Then Muslims will give you wonderful 3 days to convert, to revert to Islam.
That's only according to some schools of Sharia.
I'm giving you the best scenario. The best scenario. And then we will just go ahead and kill you. So what is the penalty for apostasy? It is death. Okay? That's the end of the story. And I love the video which made by the Mufti of Egypt, which he said in it, if it was not, this is his own word, if it was not, I should play this video many times, me and Adam Seeker on his show when we do together on Thursday night. If it is not for the war of apostasy, Islam would have died on the day Muhammad died. Muhammad died and people left Islam in the thousands. And guess what? Abu Bakr Siddiq said, ha ha ha, you can't do that. You can't leave Islam. If the good Muslims went in war with the Muslims in name only and kill many of the memorizers, those who memorized portions of the Quran were killed during that war. You're talking about thousands of people got killed.
But it was all a big war, I thought, over money, because the only thing they really, if they're still going to the mosque, they just didn't want to pay the...
It's a different thing. It's not about apostating, leaving Islam completely because they never believed in it. That's all it says in the Quran. The bad one says we believe. Do not say we believe, but say we submit or surrender. For faith never enters your heart. That's what the Quran says, Quran 14:49, I guess. Where is my Quran, man? Anybody have a Quran?
Yeah,
look at your Quran, Paul. 14:49, man.
14:49?
I guess. Maybe I'm wrong.
Okay. 14.
Check it out. Check 49. It out.
And you will see the criminals on that day.
No, that's not what I said. I'll give you the wrong verse. How do you like that? Give you the wrong verse, man. Forgive me, brother. I have sinned against Allah and against you. Give me the wrong verse. I can't believe it. Blah, 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 blah. Yes, I want to see it later. How about 14? 14? I don't remember. I need to grab a Quran.
14:49, and I think it's earlier. 45, I see, and 46, and indeed that they deceive their deception.
No.
Don't say we believe, say we.
But not say we believe, but we surrender.
Okay, hold on.
I will find it for you, my friend. For you, brother, do not say we.
Oh.
Chapter 4:14 we're looking at, right?
I don't know. I'm guessing.
Oh, boy.
Do you have any of you have a computer?
I'm working on opening mine right now, so hopefully I'll be able to get it for you in just a second. Hopefully.
Okay. Let's see if it'll let me.
Oh, come on. Where's search? Here we go.
Okay, here we go. I got it.
You got it already? Wow.
We're on chapter 14. 29, as I said, and verse 14. Why can't you tell me it's not there?
You gave me it backwards.
Oh, I gave you 14, 49.
Yeah.
49, 14. So the Bible says, we believe, say, you did not believe, but say, we surrender. Because Muslims become a Muslim as a result of fear.
Yeah.
And the faith has not entered your heart. And if you obey Allah and His Messenger, He will not decrease anything from your words. Surely Allah is forgiving and merciful. Anyway, that is what the Quran says. But obviously, the Mufti of Egypt was right when he said, because of the killing of the apostates, Islam continued to exist until today. And notice now, it's not just the killing of those in the early days when Muhammad died, the day Muhammad died. It is the killing of the Muslims who left Islam in the last 1,500 years. And I challenge Muslims, give the Muslim world, I challenge Muslim leaders, give the Muslim world an hour free, or maybe half hour free. Say, in the next half hour, between 9:20 and 9:50, any Muslim who leave Islam, we're not going to kill him. Trust me, they will not have any Muslim left in Islam. Even the imams and some of the leaders of the mosque will leave them. But anyway, so that is concerning the penalty for the apostate. By the way, in the Bible, Brother Paul, Jesus is very clear. He said, if people reject, just shake the dust off your feet and move on. So we don't force people to become a Christian. We don't force people to believe in Christianity. It's up to the person and the lead of the Holy Spirit. Next question, Brother Paul.
All right. And that is... why is there no archaeological research done in Mecca?
What are you going to search for? The bones of Muhammad? I mean, literally, if we...
Well, that's supposed to be in Medina, isn't it?
Yeah, Muhammad too is in Medina. I think maybe the question is given about anywhere in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
That is the two most holy cities. There is nothing... As a matter of fact, archaeologically, we could not find Muhammad in Mecca or Mecca in Muhammad's life according to the date. The Muslim are given. When I studied about Islam in Mecca, I learned that Mecca was a great center. It's like Rome in the days of Alexander the Great. Okay, it's like Al-Giza or Memphis. It used to be in Memphis in the days of the Egyptians. We're talking about the seven pyramids in the Giza, or eight, I believe. You're talking about the Library of Alexandria in Alexandria 300 years before Christ. These are like famous places. The whole world knows about it. Everybody knows about the pyramids of Egypt, or the life of Alexandria, or the roads which lead to Rome. Now, let's talk about Mecca. Mecca is a great center of merchandise. People travel there every year, back and forth, and blah, 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 blah. But now let's go do some digging. Well, guess what? Mecca did not exist when Muhammad was alive. And if it did exist, maybe 10 people were living in it. So it's a made up. But I love the picture. What is the picture, man?
Well, the picture is, it shows up. That's actually a place that I go to when I get to go someplace.
So I would love to.
It's a place.
I can't reveal the location.
That's all right.
So our love for Muslims, Allahologies, those who believe in the science of Allah, to allow a team of workers from different people, most of them are not going to be Christian anyway or Jew, they're just people that archaeological digging, to go and dig in Mecca to see how old Mecca is. Was there any evidence of a guy by the name Muhammad lived in Mecca for 40 years? And then he left Mecca to Yathrib and then come back to Mecca for two more years. I mean, if this is true history, we can find plenty of evidence for it. But the one I like the most is, can we dig to see the bones of Muhammad? Because that will end Islam. Why?
All we have to do is go to Medina. Yeah, that's in fact, the guy I just had on my show said the exact same thing. We go to Medina. It was supposed to be buried where he died.
Yep.
We dig down about 6 feet, you know, just guessing, somewhere, you know, maybe 7 or 8, because it's, you know, time, and you decide, you know, if this guy has a gap between his teeth, and what was the other thing? They were looking for a gap between his teeth, and, you know, look how he died.
Yeah.
I mean,
The point is, Brother Paul, Muhammad assured Muslim believers that the prophet's bodies will never decay.
Oh, that's the other part, yes.
That is my point. If Muslims will allow us to go open the tomb of Muhammad in Medina, where everybody knows where he's at, and pull his body out of the tomb respectfully, honorably, put it in a glass or a glass box where people can see it, and gold, we maybe we'll bury him in another gold box instead of filthy dirt, and let the whole world see Muhammad's body, which have never been decayed. If that's the case, I will be the first who believe in Islam. But guess what? We know there's nothing left of Muhammad, rotten bones, if there's anything left of it. So obviously, they will not allow us to do that. How about doing some archaeological digging about, studying the black stone, which is in Mecca, in the Kaaba, and tell me if this really a great stone came from the up in heaven. It used to be white and it turned to black. Tell me that. So archaeological research is done in Saudi Arabia, in Mecca, about Muhammad, about Islam, home base, the land of Muhammad, the holy land of Saudi Arabia, Mecca, Medina, with good luck.
Well, I can see them saying it was white while it was a star, and it fell, and it looks black now. But
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Christy, do you want to add a little bit more to what I said?
No.
All right. Move on, Brother Paul. Next question. Number four.
Here we go. Question number four. Whereabouts in the Quran is mentioned Christians worship Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? On the side, I have something you sent me. It says, the God in the Bible says he is the Father, while the Allah in Quran says he is not the Father. Surely the Allah of Islam is different from the God of the prophets.
Sure.
That's what's okay.
It's a very good question. I believe it's a more complicated question, but I will answer it in simple words. For Muslims who claim that Allah is God and God is Allah, it is a big lie from the bottom of hell. And they're using that, obviously, in the West, as I have some other videos, I hope we can get to it tonight, where they're just openly in America, in New York, telling the American people that we worship the same God. But sometimes they're confused about Allah and Jesus, you know. But anyway, so we don't worship the same God. And Muhammad, Allah, is not God. Because Muhammad, Allah, the Quran, did not know what we Christians believe. I mean, if Allah is God and he's all-knowing, all-knower, he should know exactly what Christians believe. Go to Quran chapter 4, verse 115.
And who opposes the messenger?
That's not the right one. How about 5:1? Brother, let me open my Quran here. 5:116, 5:117, maybe.
5:116.
Nope.
Long.
No, that's not the right one. 4:156. Nope.
Okay.
That's not you. You know what? The best thing is I have to grab my Quran. I can't speak from my head.
I'm not going to say anything because I do the same stuff. It's
amazing. I talked to all the people who I do shows with them, and I said, you have to use my Quran. You have to use my Quran. And guess what? I'm not using my Quran. So, let's get this glasses a little better than the other one. I can see better with this one. So, here's chapter 4. That's not the right one, so it has to be chapter 5. Al-Ma'idah, yep. Chapter 5. Verse 116. 5:116. What do we read there, Brother Paul?
Okay. 5:116. And when Allah said, O Isa, son of Mary, do you say to the people, take me and my mother as two gods, other than Allah? He said, praise be to you.
Before he says,
yeah.
Here's the question of Allah. If Allah is God, he should know everything. or not sure. He must know everything. If Allah is God, he must know exactly what the Buddhist worship, what the Christian worship, what the Muslim worship, what everybody else is worship. So Allah is asking Isa a question. And I mean, because Muslims do not believe that the Bible is the perfect word of God, because God is the Bible, ask questions. If God is God, you should all ask questions. Well, let's go to your Quran, my friend. Your Allah is asking Isa, son of Mary, a question. And what was the question again, Brother Paul?
Oh, Isa, son of Mary, do you say to the people, take me and my mother as two gods other than Allah?
Are you kidding me? What Christian in planet Earth, not in Jesus' day, not after Jesus and so today, what Christian believe in that lie?
I've never even heard this lie until I read this.
Exactly.
I was shocked.
You could not find a book or a belief or a cult in planet Earth. In planet Earth, for the last 2,000 years, for somebody who worship God the Father, God the Mother, and God the Son. Allah got the question wrong. Allah does not know who Christians believe in. Okay? Now, listen to the answer of Isa, which will shock you, because in that answer we learn that Isa is telling Allah, you are a stupid liar. Go ahead, read for me. What Isa said?
He said, praise be to you. It is not for me that I say what is not true for me. Wow.
I did not say that, Allah. Allah, you're accusing me of something I did not do. I never said it. And keep going, what he said after that.
If I had said it, so indeed you know it.
Oh, you know that I did not say it. He accused me of saying it, because if I had said it, you know it. Keep going.
You would know what is in my soul, and I do not know what is in your soul.
If that Allah is God, he knows what is in Isa's soul. He knows that Isa never asked people to worship him as mother, and his mother as God without Allah. Min dunillah, without Allah. So wait a minute. What are we talking about here?
Allah doesn't know the answer, apparently.
Exactly. Exactly. But then I love it, and I do not know what is in your soul. Does Allah have a soul, Brother Paul?
Well, if he's God, that's problematic.
He said, you know what is in my soul, and I do not know what is in your soul. And the ta'alam ma bi nafsi wa la a'lamu ma bi nafsi. Something like that in Arabic language. I can get it out in Arabic here. Hold your horses. Hold your horses. I don't want somebody to say, oh, this Islam is making up verses in the Quran. Allah did not say that. Islam just made it up himself. He is chapter 5.
Well, there's a statement here about YouTube videos. It says Catholics worship Mary. I won't deny that. But they do not, this is the funny thing about it. While they worship Mary, they do not consider Mary God. So I'm not denying they do worship Mary. Because I'm very familiar with that. But they, at the same time, they don't recognize Mary as God. They consider her a saint. But they empower her.
Even in the history of the true church, of the Christian church, of the godly Christian people, not once we learn that Jesus said such a thing.
Yes.
Jesus is God Almighty in the flesh. He will not teach falsehood.
Mary would never teach worship for herself either.
In kunta kuntahu, faqad alimtahu. Ta'alamu ma fi nafsi, wa la a'alamu ma fi nafsi. You know what is in my soul, and I do not know what is in your soul. So here we go, Brother Paul. Allah has a soul. Allah have eyes. Allah have legs. Allah have butt, because he sits on his throne. Allah have ears. Allah have chin. Allah have, Allah have everything. And Allah have soul. God help us. So let's go back to the question. What was the question again, Brother? I want to be sure.
Whereabouts in the Quran is it mentioned Christians worship Father, Son, and Holy Ghost?
Yes, it is in Quran chapter 5, verse 116. Nope, the false Trinity. But in the Quran, you will never find in one place where what Christian really worship. So Allah, the God of Muhammad, is not the true God, for he does not even know what Christians believe. Not in Isa's days, as Muhammad called Jesus Isa, nor even until today, because Allah did not abrogate that statement and give us the right information about what Christian really believe, what Christian people worship. And I love what we have here, Jeremiah 3:19, Hosea 11:1, and Psalm 27. I mean, literally, we can go through these verses. We'll find that in the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament, talk about the Father and the Son. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, we don't even have to go all the way through the Bible. Let's read the first three verses in the Genesis account in chapter 1. For in the Bible, we read, in the beginning, God, plural, gods in English, create, singular, verb is in its singular grammatic singular setting, create the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God, that the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the face of the surface of the earth, and God said, verse 3, 6, 9, 12, 18, 24, when God spoke, things came to existence. That's how the world was created. It was created by the word of God. Here we go, listen to this. And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and you keep going to the rest of the verses. God said, God said, God said. Let's go to John 1:1. John 1:1. What do we read in the book of John in the New Testament, chapter 1 and verse 1? In the beginning. Wait a minute. How many beginnings do we have? It's only one beginning. There's no two different beginnings. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God, which is the Word of God. Verse 3. All things were made by Him. Who? The Word of God. And without Him, was not anything made that was made. You cannot find anything in the universe unless it's made by the Word of God. Drop to verse 14, Brother Paul. Go to John 1:14. Here is the Jesus of Christianity. It's not a man we made God, but listen carefully, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and behold His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is Jesus Christ? Is God the Word who became flesh. God became a man. That is the mess of Christianity. So the Christianity of Islam is a false Christianity simply because Allah, the God of Islam, is not the true God of the Bible, and He does not have a clue what Christians believe. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Christy, you need to add something. Go ahead, sister. I feel like you have some
knowledge. I'm sorry.
Get out of you.
What do you want me to add? You can't add to the Word of God, right?
Amen. There you go.
Absolutely. So Allah is not Jehovah or Yahweh. Allah is Satan and Jesus God. We have a great study. It's called, actually, Allah is Satan and Jesus God. I would love to do it. Maybe we should jump on that study and we can have great time shared with our wonderful people in our broadcast. Next question, Willa. Next question.
Okay. All right. Most Muslims can't speak Arabic to a God that only understands Arabic. I was actually looking for a cartoon of somebody laughing at Allah because he can't understand them.
Well, the funniest thing is not only Allah does not understand except Arabic, Allah does not know Arabic either. That's a new news for the brother who sent the question to us. Why? Because if Allah knows Arabic and understands Arabic, why in the world does Allah put Hebrew and Greek and Syriac and Latin and Coptic, all these foreign languages in the Quran? You see, Muslims claim the Quran is pure Arabic. But in reality, according to this translation, I have 279 words in the Quran. Some of them is used more than 100 times. 279 words, non-Arabic words, which means Allah does not know Arabic. Sometimes I do this Christian English, so I'll be talking with my wife or I record a radio program, and then I ask Vicky, would you, honey, sit next to me, edit my radio program? Sure. And then she starts saying, time out, stop. I said, why? She said, what did you just say? I said, because they were floating in the problem. She said, what? I said, floating. I said, what do you mean floating? I said, that's when they are too much in depth. So she said, you sound, there's no word for floating. I said, are you sure? I said, it sounds good. I like it, floating. I can even write it to you, F-L-O-W-I-N-G. I mean, it sounds good. So I look at it in the dictionary. Well, guess what? There's no words called flooding. I made it up, Christy. So that is Allah. See, Usama can make mistakes. Sometimes Osama speak a word in English?
But, you know, Osama, that's what I keep saying when we're doing that Dissecting the Quran series. It sounds like a person wrote the Quran who didn't know Arabic as their first language.
But the problem is, Paul, Muslims believe that the word of Allah in the Quran, it is the word of Allah. It's not the word of Muhammad. Allah literally sent it to Muhammad through Angel Jibreel. So
well,
if it is the word of
Allah,
and
be
Allah
playing the telephone game, then.
But if it is the word of Allah and Allah knows Arabic, why Allah put foreign words in his Quran? It should be pure Arabic, as Muslims claim, or as Allah claims in the Quran. So the question again, most Muslims cannot speak in Arabic to a God that only understand. I'm sorry, that Allah does not understand Arabic. If you make one mistake in the Arabic language, that means he does not speak Arabic very well. I love it how Muslims, you have seen that before, Paul. When Muslims jump on me when I read a word, different pronunciation. But wait a minute, we got 290,000 words in the Arabic Quran in this 37 Quran Sister Hatun had in her possession. 37 different Quran with thousands and thousands of different words in the Arabic language. Which one is the right word? Is it lamastum, touched, or lamastum, have sex? Because touching a woman is not equal to have sex with a woman. You follow me?
Which one do you have to clean yourself after?
Well, either one. Because in some Arabic Quran, if you touch a woman, you're unclean. If you have sex with a woman, you're unclean. But what I'm saying is, you cannot tell me the Quran is pure Arabic. Because Allah does not know Arabic. Allah does, I know for sure Allah knows Arabic. And when people make fun of me, I say, oh, so are you trying to tell me that I'm reading the Quran wrong because I pronounced these four or five words in that verse wrong? Okay. What if I show you 1,000 words, different words completely in the Quran from the same verse? Which one do you like? Well, you like that one, not that one. See? So, and the sad thing is this. Muslims pray to Allah in the Arabic language. Muslim must read the Quran in the Arabic language. Muslim must say the Shahada in the Arabic language. Muslim everything is Arabic language. And sadly, 78% of the Muslims, less than 13% are Arab. And a lot of them cannot read and write Arabic. A lot of them are uneducated. Okay, but majority of the Muslims, let's say 80% of the Muslims have no clue what they're saying when they pray in Arabic language. It breaks my heart to see a Muslim man read the Quran in Afghanistan or Pakistan or Indonesia or some other Muslim country who do not speak Arabic. And what they do is they wash their hands, Brother Paul. Wash their hands good, clean towel, white towel. You open the Quran, it is a very holy book. I mean, they honor the Quran so much. It's so holy. Even though they know nothing about it. And then he put his finger, his right hand, on the pages of the Quran, and he touched the verses. One line, next line, next line, next line, last line, next page, right here, next line, next line, until he gets to the new design, and he knows that was the end of the chapter. And then he does this. He kissed his finger. Close the book, back in the White House, back on the shelf. What have you done? I read the Quran. Are you kidding me? You didn't read the Quran in Arabic language, but touching the pages? What a foolish action. Result of a foolish man and woman who knows nothing what they're doing. So obviously, Muslims who do not know Arabic do not know Islam. And Muslims who know Arabic do not know Islam. Because if you have the type of Muslim before your name or in your ID card, the religion is a Muslim, that means you know nothing about Islam. And I want to know why the world people will continue to believe in a cult, know nothing about, die for, killing their children and grandchildren if they leave the cult, even though they themselves do not know too much about Islam. It's a very sad story, Christy, as we see it happening all over the world, even here in America, the honor killing, killing their own children, grandchildren, for leaving Islam, and they themselves don't know so much about Islam.
Well, this is a sad situation. I don't know if you guys covered that story where there was They were talking about a serial killer killing Muslims. And the story actually was being put out there that it was some sort of a Islamophobe, conservative Christian that was out killing Muslims. But the truth is, it was a Muslim who did these killings and was arrested. Well, he hasn't been given a trial yet. But he was killing other Muslims because they were Shias, and yeah. His daughter was going to marry a Shia. And I'm telling you what, people do not know this. And even in my own family, there was a discussion that, oh, well, look how horrible it is that someone would kill these Muslims. And lo and behold, you know, yeah. We said it's a Muslim who probably did this. And they didn't believe it. And then when they yeah. found out that a Muslim was arrested for that,
yeah. it's
they were shocked.
Because Muslims lie, the media lie to cover up for the Muslims.
Yeah.
Even if somebody by the name John or Paul or Peter kills a Muslim, that does not make that John or Peter or Paul
a Christian.
You cannot be a Christian.
That's right.
If you're a Christian, to kill Muslims. You cannot be a Christian if you don't love your innocent.
But, you know, this is the problem, Usama. We have too many people that put the label of Christianity on themselves,
sure.
and it isn't their fault. In many cases, they're told when they go to church that now that they're in the congregation and they, you know, walked up the aisle or they got baptized into that congregation, that they're now a Christian. And they mm-hmm. truly have not been born again. And that is one of the big tragedies in America.
Sadly.
Yeah, I would, you know, my honest thoughts are if you're in a church that tells you you're a Christian because you've been baptized as a baby, you need to find a church.
Not a baby, even as an adult, they tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
That rule will not make you a Christian. Walking an aisle will not make you a Christian.
Right.
Saying a prayer will not make you a Christian.
But,
robbing a Christian family will not make you a Christian.
But how many Christians said that Barack Obama was a Christian? Because he was attending.
And he's the guy
who
claimed he was
Muslim. Yeah. If you're a Christian, there's something that's called the spirit of discernment.
Yes.
Even the simplest Christian, the one who does not know so much about Christianity, if he is born of the spirit, he or she will know some simple fact that Obama is not a Christian. Because why? From the fruit, which are the tree.
That's right.
I mean, what do we get out? Forget about in the first 4 years of Obama, when he claimed to be a Christian to be in the White House. What about the following 4 years? What about what we're harvesting today of the work of Obama in these 8 years, which is literally 6 years ago, 86 years ago? We're still harvesting from the fruit of
That's
Obama.
Right.
I know Obama.
Especially in the FBI and the CIA. We're
sure.
seeing what has happened.
He did a great job in these 8 years. Nobody would ever think that a man in 8 years would change the two top important team in America. FBI, CIA are loaded with ungodly work. Even the one Mr. Trump picked up because he has no choice. He does not know any better. It doesn't matter who you're going to pick at the top of the ladder. They're all corrupt. They're all wicked.
We actually had somebody on my show, criminal intelligence analyst, who said he has to get rid of everybody GS-15 and above. Yes,
exactly.
If
you want to save America, all these people have to go. Even if you know they're conservative, just get rid of them. The bad and the good, throw aside.
Yep. He said get rid of the entire SBS across all of the entire government executive wing structure.
I'd rather to have a smaller FBI who obey the laws, who obey the Constitution, who do what is right, than to have this huge FBI. What are you doing with IRS? 178,000 more people? Are you kidding
87,000.
I mean, 87,000.
If anybody out there wants to find out what's going to go on with the IRS, I'm suggesting you read a book called To Harass Our People by George Hansen. It's out of print. He already passed away, but the book was published in, I think, 1984. I studied this book and did several papers on this particular thing. He broke the stories and the research on what the IRS was doing at that time, the things they were doing illegal, and Congress stopped it. Our new administration is bringing it right back. It's called To Harass Our People by George Hanson. It's well worth reading.
If you remember, Christy, under Obama's, in the last few years of Obama and the first years of Mr. Trump, how bad the IRS were.
Yeah, but they're going to be worse.
Harassing the Tea Party and harassing the churches and harassing conservatives.
But this is more than harassment, Usama. This is people being taken and held at gunpoint in their own home and their bank accounts being frozen because they would demand that money was owed to the IRS. In the court, in tax court, you are guilty unless you can prove you're innocent. It's the only court in America where you're guilty unless proven innocent, and they know it, and they will go and tell you you owe money, and if you don't pay it, they'll freeze your bank account, hold you hostage at gunpoint with your family. That book, again, documents all these cases.
They're going to have all the power they need.
That's why they got bullets, and that's why they've got guns.
And give them all the guns. That's your mind, because of the jizya and the Christians in the Muslim world. When they tell you, you owe us this amount of money, and you don't give them that amount of money, then they start taking your land.
That's
then
right.
They start taking your home. Then they start taking your children. Then you become a Muslim, like it or not. They go tell you, raise your wife and daughter, raise Muslim babies for you. Nothing
you know,
like that.
Talking about discernment, I'll tell you, I bought 6 copies of that book from a used book store online, and I passed them out to my Bible study probably in about December or earlier last year. I said, y'all need to read this book. I had no idea this was going to come back, but I wanted to know the history of the IRS and what they've done. So now we're seeing they want to revamp all that evil because
bigger problem. Yeah. All right, Brother Paul, next question, sir. I know you have one more question for me, or maybe more. Who knows? What's the next question?
Here we go. All right. Does Allah have hearing problems from hearing Muslims repeat the same words 5 times daily? Now, I actually saw a question online that was something similar. A person had responded saying, Mormons are literally, when they try to make noise on a loudspeaker at least 6 times, morning 6:30, afternoon 1, evening 4:30, evening 6, evening 7:30, then finally at 7:45. Either someone is deaf, that's why loudspeakers are attached to that building.
Yeah. Read for me, Paul, what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, and verse 7. Let's just show our dear, wonderful audience right now, Muslims and others, that is the difference between the God of the Bible and the God of Muhammad. The God of the Bible and the God of Muhammad. They give the opposite advice, the opposite command. Yes, indeed. Go ahead.
Matthew 6:7.
Yes, sir.
And let's pull it up. All right. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking.
I believe that is the problem with the heathen, the Muslims. They wake up in the morning at 5 o'clock or earlier than 5 o'clock to do the Fajr prayer. So they repeat some words. Then we come to the noon prayer and they repeat the same words and a little bit more verses from here that follow. And then you go to an Asr prayer around 3 o'clock, 3:30, you have another prayer. And then they go to the Maghrib prayer, and then they go to Asha prayer. I mean, literally 5 times every day, repeating the same word over and over and over and over again, thinking maybe that's the only way to talk to Allah.
Now, don't they have to bang their head on the ground, too, to get a nice little bump there that they can be proud about?
You know what? It's sad, Paul. These people don't even understand what they're saying. As I said earlier, 87% of the American Muslim people in the world do not know Arabic. They are excited. Why not just, you know what, write this prayer in a piece of paper, and at the time of prayer, just point it by your finger. Here it is, Allah. You read it, Allah. You know Arabic better than me. Here it is. You read it, Allah, and count it as a prayer.
But,
So it's not any different from, well, the way I look at this, it's not any different from you see these people who these Hindus who will do these mantras.
Chant.
And they'll say something over and over again. And they don't know the language. They just repeat the words. And usually it's a Hindu god's name that they repeat. But they don't, it's the same kind of thing. They don't know what they're saying.
But here's the problem with this. If you are saying things and you don't know any of what you're, praying about, or you don't understand, maybe they tell you, but these are not, I think it's important to realize, these are not personal prayers that people are seeking God for. They are recitations, they're reciting. So here's the thing. It's easy to wonder, is any prayer ever answered? That what they're looking for are prayers that...
But see, when you pray to Allah and you do these prayers, standing and sitting and kneeling and specific words, we can talk about it in depth a little bit later. That is the prayer which is every Muslim have to do. But the supplication, which people call dua, they talk to Allah after words. They believe that Allah answers his prayers. Because remember, after every prayer on Friday, we have thousands of Muslims. The imam will say, may Allah destroy them.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
May Allah do this, amen. May Allah do this. And guess what? When you come to America and you see some flood in Virginia or flood in Kentucky, aha, Allah answer our prayer.
Yeah.
And then you see earthquake or hurricane, some, aha, Allah answer our prayer. Fire in California, Arizona, and Washington,
yes.
Aha, Allah answer our prayer. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
But it's really sad because it's all about destruction and the promotion
of Allah to bless somebody, to
yeah.
help somebody, to guide somebody. But this
brings us back to the question, that was asked last week by your guest.
Yeah.
And then he's like, how come us Muslims don't have access to miracles?
That's right.
Well, the miracles happen among the Muslims when Muslims hear somebody pray over them in Jesus' name. And that's perfect.
Yeah.
In Egypt, when I grew up, and my mama used to pray over these Muslims who are demon-possessed. And my mama say, in Jesus' name, I rebuke you, devil. In Jesus' name, in the power of his resurrection, I rebuke you and I cast you out of her or him. That is when God, the God of the Bible, answers the prayer which my mama used to offer, because it's praying to the real God. Not to Allah. You cannot pray to Allah and Allah answer you. And the proof is this. These Muslims came to our home, to our church, to my mama pray after. They did everything they can. They went to the mosque. They went to Saudi Arabia. They went to doctors. They went to this. They went to that. And it was a hopeless situation. You come to this Christian godly lady who cannot even read, for heaven's sake. My mama cannot read Arabic. But she memorized Psalm 91, and she prayed. And she pray in Jesus' name, and demons were cast every time, every time. So this answer, Muslims see it for the prayer, for healing for their body. When a Christian lift up this prayer in Jesus' name. Let's go back to the prayer, Brother Paul. Does Allah have hearing prophets? No, Allah is not a God to hear anything. Allah is Satan. You can pray to Allah all your life in the Arabic language, and you repeat it 300 times, 3,000 times, 300,000 times. Well, guess what? He cannot hear it. He cannot answer it because he's not God. Allah is Satan. He's the one who desires to fill hell with people and jinn. He's the one who leads people astray. He's the one who wanted many of you Muslim friends to burn in hell. That's what Muhammad said. 73 denominations among the Muslims. Only one will be removed from the fire of hell to the garden of Muhammad. As the 72 and majority of Muslim ladies are going to burn in hell forever and ever. I don't know. What kind of God is that you're worshiping? He's nothing but Satan. Any other statement, Christy, Paul, about the question? Move on to the next question.
The next one I have is, I'm sorry, Christy, did you have anything to say?
No.
Next question. Show me whereabouts in your Quran you have to pray five times daily.
It's not in the Quran. Five daily prayer is not in the Quran. The Quran talk about the prayers, morning and evening, and the one in the middle. Muhammad did not even point to these five prayers in the Quran. And that's a good question. Why? Because we know Muslims are ought to pray 5 times a day according to the Hadith, not the Quran. And it's funny because Muslims don't believe in the Hadith. Some Muslims say, I don't believe in the Hadith, I only believe in the Quran. Excuse me. You cannot pray the 5 daily prayer according to the Quran. But I don't have them in the Quran. There may be 20 prayers in the Quran. Maybe only 3 in the Quran. But what is the 5? The 5 is the Hadith. And when you study the Hadith, when you talk about the 5 daily prayer, you cannot help but to leave Islam. But he's telling you, here is the source of the 5 daily prayer. When you study it and investigate what Muhammad said in this made-up, fabricated Hadith, you cannot help but to say goodbye to Allah and Muhammad and Islam. Why? Here we go. Muhammad riding on his super, supersonic mule from Jerusalem to the 7 heavens. Riding on his mule.
Oh, I'm going to say flying ass.
I mean, you're laughing. You think it's funny. But that is the reality of the Hadith. And let's see what happened when he went to the first heaven. He saw the tall man. Every time that man looked at the right hand, he left. At the moment he turned his left, head to the left side, he waved at the who is that man? Father Adam. How tall he was? 60 cubits, 90 feet tall. Why he was laughing? Or because he sees those who believe in Muhammad. Why he's crying? Or because he sees those who disbelieve in Muhammad. Are you out of your mind? The Bible says clearly there is no tears in heaven. How can Adam be 90 feet tall in heaven crying? 7 heavens? I don't have time to go through the whole propaganda.
It's Gnosticism. That's all it is. It's
Bible talks about, 3 heavens. Not 7, 3. The heaven of the earth, that's the bird and airplane fly. The heaven of the stars, the sun and the moon, and the galaxy, millions and millions and millions of billions of galaxies, and the heaven of heaven, the third heaven, where Jesus is, where God the Father is, where all the believers, those who believe that as the beloved John ascended to, 3 heavens. 3 heavens. Not 4, not 5, not 6, not 7. And the rest of the made-up story of Muhammad in the Hadith is a comedy. If you investigate the Isra'i wal Ma'raj, Quran chapter 17, verse 1, and read the interpretation of Muslim scholar about how great Allah, which read 17.1, Brother Paul, 17.1.
The Quran, okay.
Quran, the Holy Quran, there are many holes in it, Quran chapter, the Holy Quran.
Okay, I've got it. It says, praise be to him who took his servant by night from the forbidden mosque to the farthest mosque, who we have blessed, that which surrounds him, that we might show him some of our signs. Surely he has the hearing, the seeing.
That's going from one mosque in Mecca, another mosque in Jerusalem, as some Muslims claim. Actually, both mosques are inside Arabia. One blessing, not actually a mosque, from one spot to another spot, because there was no building, it's called a mosque. But that's okay. From Jerusalem, from Israel, from Mecca to Jerusalem. And what happened then? Go read the interpretation from Muslim scholars. The seventh trip, the trip to the 7 heavens. What's amazing when you read that, when he went to the mosque in the Aqsa Mosque, Muhammad tied his donkey. Have you ever seen what do you call it? The cowboy movies in the Gunsmoke? I like Gunsmoke.
I live in the
and
cowboy.
Almost everybody come down from the horse and there's a piece of what do you call this? Coming from the head.
The reins. They've got the reins and they wrap them around a post.
And they wrap it around the tree or wrap it around the post. Well, Muhammad did the same thing with his supersonic mule. But he tied it on one of the columns of the Temple of Solomon. The Temple of Solomon,
that's not gonna work.
The Temple of Solomon, my dear friends, was gone. 71 AD. That's a good 600 years before Muhammad with a gleam in his father's eyes. Okay? Before Muhammad ever went to Jerusalem. There was no mosque. There was no columns. There was no temple. There's nothing you can tie the donkey to. And the donkey can fly all the way from Mecca to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to the 7 heavens. You don't have to worry about tying him. Tying him was not anything. He's super, super sonic mule. Good luck to tie him with rope if you want to fly, go somewhere else. He can fly.
Well, we do have another question here that I want to share because it kind of fits in. It's, did Muhammad ever talk to Allah?
Yes, when he went to the seventh heaven. According to Muhammad. Okay? Throughout the Quran, he did not talk to Allah, but Allah used to talk to him through his angel Jibreel.
And that, this is the Hadith, right?
That's in the Hadith. Yeah,
yeah.
Allah talked to Muhammad. Muhammad, matter of fact, when Muhammad got to the sixth heaven and he was there and visiting with people, having a cup of coffee and tea and chatting, blah, 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 then Jibreel told Muhammad, now you're going to talk to Allah by yourself. The seventh heaven, Jibreel could not go to Allah, but Allah, Muhammad can talk to Allah directly. Imagine that. Muhammad talked to Allah and Allah told him, okay, Muhammad. He said, yes, 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 Allah. He said, I want you to tell your people to pray 50 times a day. No problem. I got Arab stud, man. I mean, so strong. They're stronger than camel horses. You will be, have no problem to pray even 150 times a day. Is he going down, Muhammad? He went to the fourth heaven or something, the fifth heaven. He met with Prophet Musa. Peace be upon him. So Prophet Musa asked him, what did Allah say? He said, oh, you know, we talk, we have a cup of coffee, we drink some tea, we got some white seeds, some fruit, some stuff. You know, what did Allah say? Well, Allah said, you know, ask my people to pray 50 times a day. 50 times a day? Are you out of your mind? Go back to Allah. Why is it? I know about it. I tried with my people. They were kill you, man. So he will go, Allah, Muhammad, leave Moses, go back to Allah. And he said, well, Allah, you know, I was going down and I swing by the first heaven and or the fifth heaven I met with you, Prophet Musa. Remember Prophet Musa? Oh, Allah remember, yes. Perhaps Allah forgot Musa. So now Muhammad reminded Allah about this. Anyway, so he told me 50 is too much. Can we kind of make a deal here? Oh, 45? Oh, thank you so much. Man, that's awesome. I appreciate you for that. You got it. You Allah, you got it. 45 times. You went back to the first heaven or the fifth heaven. And Moses said, what did Allah say? So we made a deal. He said, what? He said, 45 pounds a day. Are you out of your mind? Go back to Allah. So he went back to Allah. Every time Muhammad meets with Moses, Moses thought him, he's crazy. People will kill him. He would go back to Allah and negotiate with Allah. And we got that from 5 prayers a day. Then he went back to Moses and went, okay, 5 is not bad. And that's when Muhammad went down to earth. But can you imagine Allah meet with Muhammad 13 times? Negotiate the price, not the price, the number of prayers from 50 to 5. First of all, that reminds us of a biblical account when Abraham was talking to Jesus Christ, who appeared to Abraham in Genesis 18, I believe. And he said he's about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So Abraham says, you are the most high one. You are the exalted one. Will you kill the good and the bad? Perhaps there's 50 righteous there. What did Jesus say? Well, if there's 50, I will not destroy the city for the sake of the 50. Okay, perhaps there's 45. Maybe 40. And went down to maybe 10, maybe 5. There was not even 5 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah. So I believe Muhammad heard the story. He liked it. Let's hear the scenario.
Sounded good.
forget about Abraham and that God in the Genesis 18. What about me and Allah? I love it. You know how much Muhammad took from the Bible and put himself, even like, why did Muhammad, how did Muhammad know that Allah wants him to marry Aisha? See, Muhammad was having a vision. And the vision is, blanket coming down from heaven. And on the blanket from heaven, there is something inside. So Muhammad walked all the way to the blanket and looked. Oh, behold, Aisha inside the blanket. So he walked away, and then the blanket came down from heaven 3 times. And that's when Muhammad was, I'm sorry, I can't help it. I'm sorry, Allah. Maybe you don't want me to marry your daughter, but Allah wants me to marry. I saw the vision in the blanket. What is blanket coming from?
Sick.
Oh, it is a
pedophile strikes again.
in Acts chapter 10. So anyway, so you see here, yes, Allah talked to Muhammad, and Muhammad talked to Allah. In the negotiation of the prices, not the prices, the number of prayers, mashallah, mashallah. And that's why we in the Middle East like to negotiate about everything. I'm not kidding. If you have a car, a nice car, worth $5,000, and you really need to sell it so badly, so you tell the guy, I will sell it to you for $4,000. It's a $5,000 car. I'm willing to give you for, I don't want, I give it to you for $3,500, $3,500. Then the guy looked at me and said, would you take $2,000? And he knows that the car works more than $5,000. So negotiation, it became part of the custom in the Muslim world among Muslim believers because they learn it from Allah and Muhammad, dialogue back and forth. You see, we're good. We're good. Okay.
All right. Going back to the next question. All right.
Next question.
All right. Let me just push right button here.
Question number
8. We're on. Yes. Whereabouts in your Quran does it mention the Shahada in full?
Oh, man. That's another problem. Here's another problem. As we do not have 5 daily prayers in the Quran, we do not have Shahada in the Quran. There is not one chapter of the Quran that say, there is no God, I bear witness, there is no God except Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. I mean, I can show you hundreds and hundreds of say that. They ask you, tell them this, say this. Not one time say, I bear witness, there is no God except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. And as a matter of fact, if you study Sharia very carefully, you find that that Shahada is a false Shahada. It's a false witness. Why? Because to bear witness, you have to see by your eyes, hear by your ear, smell by your nose, taste by your tongue, touch by your hand. You have to use your senses to bear witness. If you go to the Sharia court and you say, I know that that person killed that person, according to Sharia, and the Sharia court in Islam, they just ask you, have you seen it when he did it? No. Have you heard the bullet fly from the gun? No. Have you smelled it? I just bear witness. You're a false witnesser. And that's exactly the problem with the foundation of Islam. The Shahada is not in the Quran, but you cannot be a Muslim unless you say the Shahada. And if you say the Shahada, you're actually carrying a false witness because nobody has seen Muhammad. Nobody has heard Muhammad, touched Muhammad, smelled Muhammad, tasted Muhammad. We know nothing about Muhammad. As a matter of fact, there are books written which prove that Muhammad never existed. If Muhammad never existed, and Muslims cannot prove that he ever existed, how in the world do you bear witness that he is the messenger of Allah?
And that's exactly what Tabe just wrote. How can you bear witness if you've never seen him?
Exactly. So here we go with the foundation of Islam. The first pillar is a lie. It's simply a lie. Okay.
And question 9. Here we go. Was God confused when he said, take 2, 3, or 4 wives? Why couldn't he just say in a sentence, take up the 4 wives?
Man, here's how to create a shortcut to the Quran. If you make that throughout the middle of the Quran, we're going to miss a lot of the Quran. Quran chapter 4 and Quran chapter 4.
I've actually heard a strange interpretation of this, which, so you take 2, okay, and then you add 3, that's 5, and then you add 4, that's 9.
Yeah, verse 3. Can you put for me up Quran 4:3 or read it, Paul?
I can read it. Yeah. Okay.
And if you fear, I will read it. And if you fear that you cannot deal fairly among the orphans, which I have no clue, why Allah is confused, Muslim having sex with women, was Muslim deal not fairly among the orphans? Were Muslim men could not control themselves that they are having sex with orphans? I have no idea. What relationship between the people say, you're taking the verse out of context. Your Quran is written out of context. Your Allah does not make sense. But that's okay. And if you feel that you cannot be fairly among the orphans, so have sex with what? Your right hand was what? Appeal to you from the women. 2, 3, and 4. As a matter of fact, some Muslims believe that 2, 3, and 4 is actually 9. Because 2 + 3 is 5, 5 + 4 is 9. And they prove it to be right because Muhammad had 9 wives at the time.
So Muhammad, sorry, Usama, what you said something there that isn't in most Qurans. So have sex. Why, don't they usually use that word marry?
I'm sorry, the word here in the Arabic language is nukah, fankahu. Fankahu, so have sex. That's the best, polite way I can put that word in the English language. If Muslims do not like my words have sex, we can change it to F, the F word. So F, 2, 3, and 4. If you don't like have sex, I think have sex is more polite because it's not, first of all, we're not talking about marriage. In the Quran, we don't talk about marriage. Allah does not know marriage. Muhammad does not know marriage. Let me explain to you in simple English. Marriage is zawaj. Zawaj is you make a pair. One pink, one blue, you make a pair. Okay? We buy, my mama used to buy zoj hamam, a pair of doves, a male and female. Hamam is a, the dove is a pure animal. The male will not have sex with other female. So a male have a female, and these are the only two have sex together. If a male dies, the female will not have sex with another male. So when we buy dove in Egypt, you have to buy them in pair. You have to buy them in pair. You want to make babies, that's how you do it. That's one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit is described in the Bible to be a dove. Holy, pure, dove. Okay? So a pair is a male and female. So a marriage in the Bible, let man leave his father and his mother and unite with his wife and they become one flesh. A man and a woman unite together, one flesh. That is marriage. The word in the Arabic language, zawaj, two come together, become one, that's marriage. In the Quran, we don't have that. Why? Because it started with two plus a guy, that's three. Muslims reject Trinity. It is triune relationship. You know, I hear this in the garbage language, when people have sex three together, I don't know what they call it. They call it whatever the word is. Two girls and a guy, or two guys and a girl, okay? It's one of the immoral way of having sex, okay? What is this word, Brother Paul? You know it.
I think it's called menage a trois or something like that.
No, three-way.
Three-way, okay.
Okay, so whatever the word is. So in Islam, Allah starts with three, or four, or five. Wait a minute. You said two and three and four, plus a guy. Two girls and one guy, three girls and one guy, four girls and one guy. That is not marriage. Marriage is one plus one. The wedge. That's why Allah in the Quran used the word nukah. Now, you can divorce, but I don't know about how can a Muslim man divorce his aunt. When you divorce your wife, she's out of your life. If a man divorces his aunt, will he cut his hand off? Because the same teaching of the Quran is in the Hadith, where Muhammad talked about a man has sex with his hand. Okay. Same word, yankah yadeh. So if yankah means marriage, that means a man can marry his hand. No, it is the actual act of sexual relationship between a male and two female, a male and three female, a male and four female, or make it simple, if you cannot deal fairly among them, then you have sex with one free woman and period. No. And all that your right hand possesses, still not marriage. Even if a Muslim man has sex with one woman, according to that verse, why? Because keep reading the rest of the verse. Don't stop there, please. It's not period there. And all what your right hand possesses. So he's married to a free Muslim lady, married, okay? But at the same time, he has sex with 50, 100, 200 more of right hand possessing. Slaves and concubines. There's no holiness, there's no marriage. So, what's the question again? What's the meaning? Was God confused when he said, take 2, 3, or 4? It's not 2, 3, 2, and 3, and 4. So, we need to take the comma out in the question and put the 2 + 3 + 4, not comma.
So, that was actually correct what I said earlier. It's 9.
Yeah.
Nine.
Also, it's not God, it's Allah.
Oh, yeah. Who put this capital G-O-D? I forgive you, Brother Paul, for making
I copied and pasted these questions.
Yeah. So that's an important point.
We need to correct them. When somebody sends us a question, he put God, they cover it with, you know, yellow color and put next to Allah. Because our God says, as Jesus said, didn't you know from the beginning, Matthew 19, I believe, he made them male and female. The scripture teaches Old Testament in Genesis. and Lynn teach that also in Genesis and Matthew 19. Marriage is a union between a male and a female, not one male and two female or three female or four female or five female or 10 female. No, no, no. One blue, one pink make a marriage. Amen? That is the answer for that question. I hope we covered it. Next question.
Okay. Here we go. Please explain from as whom Allah was saying the Shahada to in Surah 318.
Well, let's look at the Quran together. 318. Do you have your Quran, Brother Paul?
Yeah.
Brother Paul, my special friend.
Let's see. 318. Okay. Allah witnessed.
Chapter 3, verse what?
18.
Okay. I got it here.
Allah witnessed that there is no God but Him. And the angel, who's he talking to?
Allah bear witness about himself. Yeah. And the angels. And those who have the knowledge. Read it to the first brother.
Okay. And there is no God but him, the dear, the wise.
So Allah bear witness about himself that he is the only God and the angels and the people of knowledge. Yeah. Yeah, good question. Good question. Yes, Allah bear witness about it. I don't understand how can even Muslims comprehend or understand the reality of this nonsensical teaching of the Quran, the word of Allah, the Quran. Allah bear witness about himself that he is God. There's no God except him. And the angels. The angels are God. And the people of knowledge, they're also God. But there's no period there. The continuation of sentence doesn't make any sense. I don't have explanation except that's what Allah says in the Quran.
Wow. All right. Are you ready for the next one?
I don't know what you have. Go ahead.
Whereabouts in the Quran is the stoning verse?
The stoning verse is not on the Quran. As a matter of fact, the stoning verse were eaten by Almighty Goat. Okay.
It's abrogated, remember?
Abrogated because the goat is it.
Yeah.
Not abrogated. Aisha told us, and we believe her. She's not lying. There's no reason for her to lie. When Muhammad died, they were distracted. I mean, when the Prophet of Allah died, I mean, it's a chaos. So they were busy about his burial, this and that. And some goat or sheep, I don't know exactly. Dajin is the Arabic language. Could be a goat, could be a sheep. Went inside her room, and under her mattress there were this piece of paper which had these verses about the stoning of idolatry. As a matter of fact, in the same verses too, there were also other verses like the breastfeeding of the adult, because as Allah stated in the Quran, if a woman breastfeed an adult, he become her son. So, but you have to have 10 full breastfeeding. And then it was abrogated by 5-4 breastfeeding, and then it was abrogated when the goat ate it. So these are missing verses from the Quran, but Muslims believe in it and they practice it. The wisdom of Allah, I do not know.
So are they, if they practice this still, are they still practicing the breastfeeding that are required?
As a matter of fact, we have a big problem in Egypt. A few years ago, I remember it was the Mufti of Egypt said that some of the Muslim teachers of the University of Azhar, they have a big argument back and forth with others, Allahology leaders of Egypt. I cannot say theologians or theologians because they don't know anything about CEO, the God of the Bible. So Allahology people, they have an argument about that. If you're going to work in a place where you're going to be alone with a man, you need to make it lawful, which means you have to breastfeed him 5 times. It used to be 10, but it's 5 times. You cannot work with him alone because then he become your son. Maybe your sister can breastfeed him. Maybe your mother can breastfeed him. Somebody has to breastfeed him the full 5 times. And then the disagreement was among the Muslim theologians, if they want to use the word theologian here, is will he literally suckle her by his mouth? Because some say, no, you don't have to do that. She will get the milk out of her breast in a cup, and he would drink. me, sit here right now and think in your head, what is stupid? What is comedy? It is stupidity. And some Muslims believe in that. So if the wisdom here, Omar was so afraid about maybe in the future, Omar said, that people will not stone those who commit adultery because after all, the verse is gone. He was concerned about that. Khalifa Omar was concerned. But praise be to Allah and the wisdom of Allah, the wisdom of Allah, that Muslims still practice these verses, which no longer exist in the Quran because they are abrogated. But they still practice. So we're doing good.
All right, we have one more question from, let's pull it back up here. All these guys are asking. Got quite an active chat room. All right. And I'm trying to find it. Okay. I did start. Let's see if I started. No, that wasn't it. I'm sorry. Unstar that later. Okay, just go back a little bit.
Go back, go forward, do this. Do
okay,
that.
This has to do with Surah 1. Is Allah talking about himself in Surah 1:1?
Well, some Muslims will tell you that the entire Surah 1, the first Quran chapter in Quran, in fact, is not actually verses from Allah. It's not a Quran, it's prayer. Because if Allah is saying the praise be to Allah, the Lord of the world, how can Allah say that? How can Allah speak of himself in the third person as he does not know he's talking to? The entire chapter 1 is a prayer. Guide us to the straight way, verse 5. The straight way of those whom you have graced, the Muslims, not those whom you wrath is against the Jews, nor the lost one, the Christians. So how can Allah say in that verse, guide us to the straight way? You mean Allah is lost and he needs to be guided to the straight way? So that's why some Muslim scholars, they said, Quran chapter 1 is not actually Quran. It's not the word of Allah. It is just a prayer. Somehow it, by mistake, went in the Quran and Muslims have been saying it all their lives. So hey, here it is. They memorize it. They use it in the prayer. Why don't I take it out now? It's too late.
That's interesting. I've heard of that take. But it says something. With Surah 1, isn't considered part of the Quran.
Brother, there's so much in the Quran as you and I and brother Dr. Kafir did together in many of these chapters that we go one verse after another verse. It make you literally scratch your head. Look at me. I used to have hair like you and I scratched my head the last 25, 30 years. Look what happened. I lost my hair. If I know this will be the condition of me today, I would have never scratched my hair to my head from reading the Quran, but it's too late now. I can't fix it. It's too late for the fall. That's all my hair. Okay, Christy. Anything you want to add to that, Christy?
No, but that is a very important, interesting observation because it is very odd that this would be Allah speaking. So I'm glad you explained that.
Sorry. I thought you were talking about my hair.
No, that part, I've never known you when you had hair, so don't blame it on me. I met you, were like that.
So this is the comment that goes along with that. So you're saying Surah 1:1 isn't part of the Quran?
No, it's not. In my personal opinion, because it will not and make no sense that Allah say, praise be to Allah. And unless it God is
you're talking about the entire Surah, not just Surah 1:1.
There are six verses.
Yeah.
And that, according to my Quran, obviously the Arab Quran, they lied and they make in the name of Allah the merciful, the opening statement, verse 1. But you have to realize now, throughout the Quran, that opening statement in the name of Allah the merciful is not a verse. Only in Quran chapter 1, they make it a verse. Now, you go to Quran chapter 9. That verse, not only is not numbered as a verse, it's not even mentioned, which means Allah abrogated his own description for being merciful. Allah is no longer merciful. Go to Quran chapter 9. The verse is not there. So,
yeah.
It is not a verse. It is not there. So we end the Quran chapter 1, that's 6 verses, not 7. And when you read these six verses, it's a prayer. Allah did not say that. If Allah said that prayer, that means Allah is lost. He's asking somebody else.
I mean, if Allah says that prayer, prayer, it means he's a polytheist. And that's any, you know, when we were going through that to begin with Dr. Kupar and I were going through that, that's the question we kept asking. If this is a prayer, Allah is praying.
Right.
And Allah does
Allah
pray.
Yes. And if Allah is praying, to whom Allah is praying? Who is the God whom Allah, and by the way, you're going to see in one of the video, of course, Iman, it's 10:30. I thought it's like we talked for half hour. We talked for one hour and a half. So we'll not be able to get to all the videos of which I would like to talk about. But that's okay. It's okay. Relax, guys. Don't be alert. Don't be alarmed. Take it easy. What we cannot finish today, we'll finish next week. I got a bunch of videos, which I really would like to play for you, where Muslims are proving my point that the American people, when it comes to the topic of Islam, are super, super stupid. By the way, I can ask the same question which the Muslim asked in New York, in many of our churches, and I get the same answers.
That's right.
American people do not have a clue what Muslims believe. I mean, I'm glad tonight we have this chance to chat and answer these 8, 9 verses, whatever questions, but guess what? We have more to talk about. And so if we could not come up with some of these videos, hey, next week we'll play some of these videos for you. And Lord's willing, we'll expose the problem we have. And it's go back to the same verse which we put in the description of our show tonight, Hosea 4:6. Hosea 4:6.
I did find the video, New Yorkers Tell Us About Islam.
Yeah.
Muslim, Jihad, Hijab, and Jesus and God.
Yeah, how long is that?
Play some of it, brother.
Yeah.
All right. Make sure I have not. I'm sure that I haven't muted. Oops, hold on. I don't think I have muted.
That's okay. Go back to it.
Joy of when you're using it is unmuted. So maybe it wasn't me.
The beginning is quiet. What was written there in the name of Allah, the merciful, by the way.
And now I'm not hearing anything. All right. So let me try this one more time. Sorry.
That's okay. I love that video. Maybe one day.
There we go.
I was on the other side of the fence. Can you play from the beginning, brother Paul?
Turn it up.
Yeah, I'm going to large at first. Okay. Come on. Here we go. All right. Abu Sumaya Lebron. Why Islam? Wow.
We're going to see if we ask the Muslims in questions regarding Islam, the Quran, and Muhammad. Today is going to be an interesting day for me. Since once I was on the other side of the fence before accepting Islam, and now I'm the one asking the question to see what the people know about Islam, the Quran, and Muhammad. So I ask you all to take this journey with me here in Times Square to see what it is that we see, to see what it is that the people say about Islam, Quran, and
Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's stop for a minute, Paul. Paul, stop for a minute. Paul, can you hear me? Paul?
The one.
All right. That gentleman here mentioned Muhammad's name 3 times. Quran, Islam, Muhammad, Quran, Islam, Muhammad. And he did not say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's prayer and Allah's peace be upon him. That make him a bad dude. That's not a good Muslim, Paul. If that man did this in Egypt, literally, he'd be in trouble. He maybe actually get killed. Because when you mention Muhammad, or any pronoun, go back to Muhammad if you say he. You meant by he, Muhammad, him. You meant by him, Muhammad, you have to say, and as he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's prayer, peace be on him. When he said, Allah's prayer on him, and they said to him, means to Muhammad, Allah's prayer, peace be on him. He had to say Allah's prayer and peace be on him every time he mentioned Muhammad, he, him, whatever. You got my point? That man made two boo-boos. He never said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is making him a very bad Muslim. Now, he wasn't this side. Now he's on that side. He was a non-Muslim. Now he's a Muslim. And he does not know Islam. It's like me saying, and that boy Jesus. No, we say our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't say Jesus as the guy outside the house there on the corner. They're begging for food, okay? Begging for money. No, when we talk about Jesus, we say our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God Almighty, when he came in the flesh, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Muslims, when we talk about Muhammad, they have to give him this holiness. Allah's prayer, Allah's peace be upon him, okay? So now, go ahead.
The first thought that comes to your mind when you see the word Islam?
7-Eleven. Like religious people with things that like cover their head and dark skin, I guess.
Like Egypt, like dancing. Like, I don't know too much about it.
Okay, let's stop it for a minute.
The head wraps, I think.
Yes.
Is there anything else that comes to mind when you see the word
Islam? I don't think God can hear me when I ask him to stop. Paul, would you hear me when I said stop, or you didn't hear me?
I can hear you. I'm just having some delay issues. Sorry.
So when you hear the word...
When
you hear the word Islam, what comes to your mind? September 11th. The things you cover your head with. I do not know. By the way, these are the same girls who would tell you that abortion saved lives. These are the same girls who said, it is my right to kill my baby. Same girls. I bet my life. If I go and talk, I'll finish talking with them and say, I'm going to ask you a question. What do you think of abortion? Oh, abortion saved lives.
I'd be willing to bet these girls actually had World Hijab Day in their school.
I'm sorry, what?
World Hijab Day.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they actually had to put a hijab on first.
And blah, blah, blah. We have seen that on CNN and CBS. God help us. So how in the world you can be that age? Look at these boys and girls in front of you. They're a good 18, 19, 20, and they know nothing about the word Islam. I would challenge that man to tell me what Islam means. I challenge him to tell me, what does the word Islam mean? Because I guarantee you, I've not seen, by the way, the whole video. I just looked a little bit online and I sent it to you.
Here's the thing I'll say. It's New York State, and if they're 16 at the very least, they should have already learned it. Because at least if you were in my class, you would have already learned.
Yeah.
Because you learned this in ninth grade in New York State.
Yeah, so... If we ask that Muslim imam here, and I hope he talk about it later, maybe he proved me wrong.
Well, all they teach in New York State is the five pillars. That's all they really cover for Islam.
Most Muslims in New York, in America, in Europe, will say Islam means love, peace. Yeah, love my foot, and peace, my shoes. That's the second place after my foot. All right, so let's move on a little bit to learn more about how much American people know about the word Islam or whatever other question.
Allah, that's it.
I think about the Torah. I think that's part of Islam, yeah? Mm-hmm. Like Middle East. Like,
stop. In the Middle East. So when you think about Islam, you think about the Torah. When you think about Islam, you think about Allah. That's all. Allah. Sweethearts. All right.
Wow.
What this lady said here.
I got to mute myself because I worry about there being.
Yeah, if you back up ahead, it'll be good too. I want to hear what this lady said.
Part of the world, like not in America, like that side of the world.
Yeah, I know it's a religion based around the teachings of Muhammad, a prophet. generally thought to be over in the Middle East region of the world.
Yeah. All right, let's stop for a minute. Islam, you missed it, Brother Paul. Can you go back a hair? Just show me what is written. Islam, it means submission or peace. What do you say there? Islam means the active submission to the one God. O-N-E, capital letter, God, capital G-O-D. Are you kidding me? Are you freaking thinking I'm that stupid? I don't even know what the word Islam means. Submission to the one God, capital G. See, that's the problem. If you ask people what does the word Islam mean, and they have no idea what Islam means, well, guess what? You can tell them whatever you want to tell them, and it's the truth. That's the problem we have in America. I challenge ministers in our churches in America to tell me what does the word Islam mean. And if our leaders of the church do not know what Islam means, I can tell you Islam means submission to one God. And I am right, because you're a stupid idiot. You know nothing about Islam. You didn't even know what the word Islam itself means. See? Wonderful. What's the next statement after that?
Okay.
Well, stop. Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. Are you kidding me?
Hey, you know, they're not telling anybody. They're allowed to have four wives, and they're allowed to impregnate as many non-Muslims as they can.
But here's the reality, Paul. Islam is not growing in the world.
Oh, does that mean they're leaving Islam?
I'm sorry?
Does that mean people are leaving Islam?
Well, I'm not even talking about people leaving Islam or not. 80% or so of the Muslims in the world today have no clue what does the word Islam mean.
Ah,
they have no idea what Muslims believe. They actually believe that it is a belief in submission to one God. Have the Muslim world understand and learn the fact that Islam is submission to Allah, Satan, there will not be Muslim in the world. So Islam is not the fastest growing religion in the world. Propaganda Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. As a matter of fact, all the Americans I met who became Muslims, they know nothing about Islam. And to be born from a Muslim father and becoming a Muslim by birth, that's not Islam either. How many of the 1.7 billion Muslims in the world today really understand and believe Islam? And willing to practice the teaching of Islam, even to kill their own souls, kill their own self for Allah? That's not the right number you come up with would be the fastest growing religion in the world. It's a small fraction of those 1.7 are true Muslims, 10% or so, which means we actually have 170 million people in the world who are Muslims, and the rest of the 1.7 billion, they have no clue what Islam is. And if you don't know what Islam is, then you cannot be telling me that Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. It does not work this way. Okay? Christy, you have any comments? Paul?
I'm good.
I hear some echoing. I don't know where this echoing is coming from.
Paul, when you open something else, that happens. That's what happened to me. Okay. I'm sorry, Paul.
That's okay. Let's move on.
Do you know of any Muslims? Do you have any Muslim friends?
No. Yes.
From where? Where did you meet them at? And what do you think about Muslims and their faith?
From school, and I think it's like, because I'm a Catholic, it's a little weird sometimes, but it's interesting to know how different it is and how the similarities. Yeah, I have some. I don't know which part, but I know that they're Muslim. In school.
My dad's Muslim. Yeah. He is from Mali.
So what do you think about Muslims and Islam?
I think generally there is a slight misconception just because of media and the social media that everyone hates us, especially in that region. That's definitely a misconception.
What
that's
comes to mind when you
that's false. That's false.
Religion.
Stop.
Bombing.
Stop it, Paul. That's okay. It takes time to him. I don't know. It's a little bit delay or something. Do we have any Muslim friends? If we know Islam, yes, then we will never have Muslim friends. Oh, they have Muslim friends at school. Her dad is a Muslim, but she's not covering hijab. And we got this moderate Muslims in America who are literally like American. And on. Well, what did we know what Allah said in the Quran about taking Jews and Christians for friends, or taking infidels for friends, or taking atheists for friends? Oh, if we know Islam, oh, you have believed, do not take the Jews and Christians for friends. Do not take anyone who does not believe in Allah as friends. So if I am one of these ladies, excuse me, I would love to have Muslims as friends, but they would never take me for a friend, because if they're good Muslims, they would never take me for a friend. End of story. No.
Well, I just want to point out we now have a Muslim here saying Usama Dakdak is, I think they're trying to say Islam is the, where you said Islam is not the fastest growing religion, they're trying to correct you because their English is so bad. It's kind of humorous, but I think that's what they're trying to correct.
Let me say it again. Let me tell to this wonderful friend who wrote this, Mr. Harmony or Hernamy and Isor, whatever his hair or her.
Maybe an Isor, I don't know.
But he said it's the fastest reducing religion.
Okay. Let me explain to him or her the answer. Why don't I say what I said? To be a Muslim is to submit. To submit to the word of Allah and to the command and the teaching of Muhammad, to the Sunnah of Islam. To be a Muslim, never to take a Jew or Christian for a friend. As I was talking about here, you cannot be a friend with a non-Muslim, as a Muslim. To be a Muslim is to kill every Christian, every Jew, and every infidel who will not submit or surrender to Islam. So when you meet those who became infidels, strike the necks until you have made a great slaughter among them. That's exactly what they tried to do to Salman Rushdie, the author of the book, The Satanic Verses. That is Islam. Now, how many Muslims in the world are willing to kill themselves in a suicide mission to get rid of all non-Muslims? If you're not willing to do that, don't call yourself Muslim. As a matter of fact, Allah gave us a name for you, which is hypocrites. Go to Quran chapter 3 and verse 167.
167, he says?
I believe. Let me just make sure I give you the right verse.
I got it.
3:167.
Okay. And that he might know the hypocrites.
Mm-hmm.
And it was said to them, come, engage in war for the sake of Allah or contribute. They said, if we knew how to engage in war, we would have followed you. They are closer on that day to infidelity than to faith. Then say with their mouths what is not in their hearts, and Allah knows best what they hide.
So what the verse said here, Allah will know, or maybe Muhammad will know, depending on what, how you want to interpret that verse, the hypocrite. By what? Doing two simple tests, two simple requests. Ask them to come to engage in war for the sake of Allah, or to contribute. That is to perform jihad with your money or with your life. They would say, if we know how to engage in war, we would have followed you. We're not color. We're not a fighter. We're not a jihadi. And Allah says they are closer on that day to infidelity than to faith. They're more of an infidel than a believer. Why? Because they refuse to fight for the sake of Allah, to perform jihad, and because they refuse to contribute financially towards those who are willing to fight for the sake of Allah. Who are these? These are the hypocrites.
There's a correction here. I just want to point out. This man is an ex-Muslim.
Yes, you misunderstood his comment.
And he said ex-Muslims are the fastest growing idea.
That's why he said it's the fastest reducing. It's the one going smaller.
Oh, okay. So
he was agreeing.
It's totally my fault.
It was just a misunderstanding.
Okay. You go to Quran chapter 9, verse 73. Allah tell us what Allah wants Muhammad as a Muslim believer to do to these hypocrites. Quran chapter 9, verse 73.
O you prophet, perform jihad against the infidels and the hypocrites, and be harsh with them, and their abode will be hell. Evil is the destination.
So Muhammad and Muslim believers must kill the hypocrites. You know what is the percentage of the hypocrites among the Muslims in planet Earth today? These are the Muslims who do not want to kill anybody, who does not want to perform jihad with their money. I'm not going to kill a Jew, and I'm not going to give my money to somebody to kill a Jew or a Christian, okay? That is, we go for 75-80% of the Muslims. So the true number of the Muslim people are less than 20% of the 1.7 billion Muslims, which means they're like, what, 300 million? 400 million? So can we say that Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world? It's not because he knocked up a woman, got her pregnant, and gave birth to a baby, and she named the baby Muhammad or Ali or Fatima or Khadija. That does not mean Islam is growing.
Right.
Islam is growing in the life of those who submit to Allah and practice the command of Allah, who will believe in Muhammad and practice the command of Muhammad. True Muslim believers are the true jihadi, are the terrorists. And I thank you to the Lord Jesus Christ that we do not have 1.7 billion Muslim terrorists in the world today.
We're running out of time. You saw me last time. I had a little bit of problem getting
you
through
your last
whole
10
video.
Minutes.
So,
yeah.
We're done.
All right. Our time is up. I appreciate you guys. Thanks, Christy. Thanks, Brother Paul. And for all of you who are in the chat room, next week, Lord's willing, we're going to continue with some of these videos. We're going to cut them clean, no plays and nice, so you will not hear this act. This was in the spirit of the moment today. God bless you all. Those in the chat room, appreciate each and every one of you. Please share this video with others. These are important questions. I want us to know it and share it with others, because we may assume that everybody knows the answer, but in reality, plenty of American people have no clue what Islam is or the answer for such questions. God bless you all. Appreciate you. Please don't go anywhere. Watch this video, 10 moments, the best 10 minutes of your life, because if we do not know Christ as Lord and Savior, here is the solution for your eternity. Amen? Thanks a lot.
Amen.
It astounds me that people who are going to buy a new stereo system or a new automobile or a refrigerator will spend a great deal of time reading the magazines, looking into the consumer reports, and selecting the very best one for the money. But when it comes to their eternal souls, they flippantly say, well, everybody has their own belief, you know. One day, a famous preacher in America, Harry Ironside, was preaching on the streets. A passerby interrupted him and said, excuse me, sir, how do you expect an ordinary man like me to figure out the right way? There are thousands of beliefs in the world. Harry Ironside said, sir, thousands of beliefs? I only know of two. I said, the man, there's Buddhism and Confucianism and Hinduism and Islam and all the isms of Christendom. What do you mean only two beliefs? Ironside said, there are those who believe they can save themselves and those who believe they need a savior. All of the religions of the world basically tell you there's something you need to do to save yourself. But the message of Christianity is unique in this, that it proclaims to men and women a savior. There are many people who say, well, the Bible is just another holy book. They're all pretty much the same. Now, people who say that haven't done their homework. What God did for us so that we could authenticate the message of Jesus as he came into the world was, before ever he came, hundreds of years before he came, to paint a portrait in words that would exactly describe him when he did come. One prophet said that he was going to be betrayed, and you would assume that his betrayal would be done by his enemies. No, said another prophet, it would be his friend, his confidant. You would presume that if he was betrayed by the Jews, that he would be executed by stoning. That was the traditional form of execution by the Jews. Remember, they did it with Stephen. They tried to do it with Paul. No, says another prophet, they will pierce his hands and his feet. In fact, the description of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, written about 1,000 years before it happened, describes his crucifixion more than 700 years before crucifixion was invented. You would assume that if a man was to be sold for a price, according to Jewish law, a man would be sold for 50 pieces of silver. No, said the scripture. He will be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Now, isn't that an astounding fact? The very people who were trying to disprove his messiahship knew that scripture. And all they had to do to disqualify him from being the Messiah was pay 31 pieces of silver, and he wouldn't have been the Messiah. And they paid 30 pieces of silver and sealed the amount of money in the public record. Where would the Messiah be born? Where would he come from? Matthew quotes, first of all, that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. So said Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, perhaps 750, 800 years before the Lord Jesus came, Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. You arrange the town you're born in. You try to arrange the family you're born to. I suggest it would be a bit tough to do. But you see, that's not the extent of it, because as I pointed out, it was those who did not want him to look like the Messiah who paid the 30 pieces of silver and who authenticated his messiahship by that. I've given you fulfilled prophecies. There are over 300 of them. Now, my friend, you've got to do something with that. You can ignore it. But if you examine the Word of God, you will discover that unlike any other religion in the world, God has taken your brain seriously, and he has given you hard evidence to believe that Jesus has proven himself to be the Messiah, the Son of God, and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that gives you evidence in history to authenticate its truthfulness. But there's more. Some people think that if they do good in certain situations, that they will get a credit with God to overcome the bad things they've done. Some people say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. Listen, you don't even come up to your own standards, let alone God's. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, in other words, by seeking to live a good life and keep the Ten Commandments, live by the golden rule, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Everybody falls short of God's standard. No matter how wicked a sinner you are, no matter how good you think you are, God has made an offer to the human race. To those who find the way barred, because their own sin and failure has kept them from meeting God's standard, there is an alternative. It is the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all those who believe, for all have sinned. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that lets you be honest with God about your sin. You ask someone who's trying to get to heaven by the good works, how are you doing? Oh, not bad. Oh, really? Not bad, huh? Oh, doing pretty good. Doing my best. Oh, you are. I've never met anybody who does their best, even by their own standards. God doesn't ask you to pretend you're okay. He wants you to be honest with him. Now, listen carefully. You may not believe me at first, but it's true. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that offers a savior. Islam doesn't offer a savior. Islam says save yourself. It's a do-it-yourself religion. And all the religions of the world fall under the same category. You do it, and if you do it well enough, you'll get to heaven. And as long as you think you can save yourself, any religion will do. We find out Savior. The list is very short. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Now, save yourself is an absolutely ludicrous statement. If you're in a burning building and you're screaming out the window, help, save me, save me, and I'm walking by and I say, oh, save yourself. Listen, if you can save yourself, you don't need to be saved. You can't save yourself. When Christ died on the cross, He paid the debt you owed. And in exchange for your sin, taking your sin, he has offered you his rightness, his righteousness, as a gift, a free exchange. Salvation is not something you earn. Salvation is a gift. Every other religion ultimately says that when you stand before God, you're desperately hoping that he's going to fudge a bit to let you into heaven. There's no follower of any religion that says, when I stand before God someday, I'm going to say to him, okay, God, here's your challenge. Put my life up on this side. Put your law on that side. And I challenge you to find one thing wrong with my life. Is that what people are going to say? Oh, no. They're hoping against hope that somehow they're going to slip in, maybe in the top half percent, you know. Maybe they're going to get in if God won't be too careful at looking at their life. However, can I expect to get into heaven? Oh, says God, here's what we'll do. I'll account your debt to my son. He'll pay it in full. So God sets the standard. God hands over the bills, and then he pays it himself. Examine the evidence. Not only the evidence in the Bible, the evidence in your own heart that you're a sinner and you need a Savior, and you can't save yourself. And then read what the Bible has to say about the Lord Jesus, the Savior of sinners. He came to save you. And if you will, as the Bible declares, be honest with God about your sin. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And receive the Lord Jesus as the Savior of sinners. Say, oh God, I don't know why you'd want me. I'm damaged goods. But you said that whoever came to you, you would in no wise cast out. Take me now. Save me now. I give up. I'll accept the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.